a time of rightly dividing the word of truth. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Ministries, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio, and I am Pastor Chris Gordon. We are thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you, and I've updated you a few times over the past few weeks to know that we are now a listener-supported program, and if you enjoy these programs, if they have been a blessing to you, we would be very grateful. It would encourage us greatly if you would support us both prayerfully and financially. And you can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264. We are continuing our study today with the church in Philadelphia, Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. It's an amazing section because Jesus begins this whole section by saying, by telling to them that he has the keys of the kingdom. This is what he says here right up front when he says that he holds the key of David and he opens and no one else shuts and no one else opens. What Jesus was declaring to this church was that he has the ultimate authority. He opens and has the key that unlocks heaven's door. He gives that and entrusts that to his church. He's given his church a great responsibility, a huge responsibility to preach the gospel. And as the church preaches the gospel and does that in sincerity, you know what's happening? The kingdom of heaven is being opened to all those who believe. Now, this is where we left off yesterday. Jesus says something here that is amazing in verse 8. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. Now, I want you to think about what he just said. I just opened the door in your city to spread the gospel in such a way that many are going to respond. I just gave you a wide open door of opportunity. Now, do you realize, dear listener, that this goes on? In 1 Corinthians, Paul described his work in Ephesus, and you know what he said? He said, "For a great and effective door has been opened for me." He says, "I'm staying here," to the Corinthians, "until Pentecost because I realize the Lord has opened a door wide to the message." When Paul was in Rome under arrest, he pleaded with Christians because of the opposition. "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains." It's not open right now, but I need you to pray that the Lord would open it. Now, aren't you overwhelmed by that? That the Lord was constantly opening doors and shutting them for people to be receptive to the gospel and become saved. Now, here's what he's saying to this church. I placed you there in Philadelphia. I've done something great for you. I've opened a door and no one can shut it. If this is the mission of the church, and the mission of the church is to make known Christ, that's the most exciting thing that I've ever read. The narrow gate that only a few find, Jesus just said that he opened that gate wide. What is he calling this church to? Well, this was a faithful church. And he was calling them to the missionary responsibility to minister in the setting Christ had placed them in. Because right in that city, an open door was flung wide open. I don't think we really understand this about the ministry. You know, we send people everywhere else in the world to do ministry, and especially into impoverished areas, and rightly so. People need that. I'm not discrediting that. But they never look in their own backyard. The Lord has placed us where we are, times and boundaries, for a reason. This is not about us. This is not about our comforts. Too many churches today are built only to accommodate religious people. And it's so easy to create an elaborate self-contained subculture in which we feel safe and don't have to get messy. But I want you to think about the alternative. Do you realize the door can be shut at any time? If we do not take advantage of the door of opportunity today, not only can it be shut in the place where we are, but the Lord has told us that a day is coming that the door will be shut finally and many will find themselves outside the kingdom forever. This is Luke 13. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now here's our Lord. I've just opened a door in your city. Go get him. So here the Lord is calling the church to recognize the unique opportunity that he's given them. It requires wisdom and understanding of their culture and their setting. You get to make known Christ and his gospel and his death and love, and the Lord is saying it will be heard. Now let me ask, do you think the Lord has given you an open door where you are in the city he's placed you? I want you to think about that. Are we aware of the door he's opened to us? I see it where I live. You see it where you live? I'll come back to that. Here's the challenge. When the church was told by Christ, I'm assuming by the things that Christ now observes, the church was reluctant to act on this opportunity. I say that because Christ acknowledges that there are some real deterring factors to be bold in their missionary zeal in that city. Listen to what he says in verse 8. I know that you have little strength. This was not a powerful, resourceful church. My guess is that they were quite small in comparison to the city. Their resources were little. It could have been a variety of things. Maybe many of them were of a lower socioeconomic class in the city. You know, maybe they were poor. Whatever it was, Christ says, I see that you have little strength, little influence, really. You are a weak group. They just didn't have what it took to accomplish so great a task. And then as we read this further, we see that this church was not real well liked in that community. The Jews, which Christ again calls a synagogue of Satan, were persecuting them. Their resistance to Christians were ferocious. We have no idea how bad the conflict was at that time. But I want you to listen to the language of this to make sure that we understand. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet to know that I have loved you. So remember what the Lord had said, that the gospel would be taken from them, the message of the kingdom would be taken, and it would be given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. That's the Gentiles. So the Jews always held on to their blood status and their national status and all those old blessings that they held on to that marked them as God's people. And when the church came around and started preaching the Messiah, they started saying, you're not the true Jews. We're the true Jews. And the Lord comes and says, no, they're not. Now, this is really important for the Zionists today to listen to. He just said, no, they're not. A true Jew, Romans 2, is one inwardly whose circumcision is that of the spirit and not of the letter. So remember, this is very important. There's the internal distinction. All are true Jews who have the circumcision of the heart. It's no longer of blood. It's no longer of national distinctions. That's done. I don't know why the church won't understand that today. Christians won't understand that today. Doesn't mean Jews can't be saved. The Jews come in today. We pray for that. We want that just like any other group, any other nation, any other people in the world. I pray for them, says Paul, that they may be saved. That's the Jews. So Jesus says here, the Jews, which Christ here calls a synagogue of Satan, were persecuting the New Testament church, the true Jews. Their resistance to Christians was ferocious. The conflict, awful. They had killed Stephen. They went to persecute Paul all the way to Rome. They were bent on destroying this new sect called Christians. And further, it seems that Jesus is forewarning them of a persecution to come. A great test is coming upon the whole world. See that in verse 10? Something big was coming. Whether it was economically, spiritually, we're really not told. Something big was coming. And I quote, to test those in this hour of trial that will soon come upon the whole world. I think it's safe to say the Christians were about to get heavily persecuted. Whatever the case, here's Jesus saying, I just opened the door for you. What do you think would be the response? Well, probably the tendency would be to say, this is not the right time to be getting out there. It's all wrong. We need to wait. We need better circumstances. We need better times. We need better scenarios. That is not ambitious. It's foolish to go out there now. You don't advance at times like this. You retreat. It's amazing. Christ is saying in the midst of all this, I just opened a door. Go. We need to remember this, don't we? The Lord has always called his people not to sit back and live a comfortable, easy, drinking it up life, but to count the cost for his name, count the cost to follow him. One pastor said it so beautifully. The church urgently needs Christians of apostolic zeal who will count all things lost for Christ, the hazard life, comfort, career, and reputation for him. The open doors are many, but there are few who go through them. The Lord is telling this church, go through the door. Lead many through it that I've just opened up for you. You've been given so much. You've been given the message. How much grace, how much love, how much strengthening. I want you to know I love you. Why do you think you're here, dear Christians? Because others need you. Jesus is saying, I've given it to you. I've opened it up for you. When Paul was on his missionary journey in Acts, you know what we read? After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Do you realize this is what you should be hearing in every city you're in? Come, help us. There are starving souls all around you. And Jesus is saying, I've opened a door for you. Come, help us, they say. Do you know how many people today need our help? Do you know how many people need to be evangelized with the gospel? Do you know how many people need our help and don't even realize it? This is what the Lord is calling us to. This is why we're here. He is opening the doors, and we have to be bold in declaring the message and let the results fall to him. He's in control of the heart. He calls the church to be faithful, to tell others the wonderful news of Jesus Christ and his gospel, his person and work in saving sinners from their sins on the cross and giving life through his blood by his great and powerful name. May we advance the name of Jesus Christ with boldness and zeal. Abounding Grace Radio was brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program. We invite your prayerful and financial support. Write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.